I'm Kevin Casey. I'm a professional mixed martial arts fighter. And right now, what I'm about to do is issue a warning out to all other competitors.
I don't want overs. I just expect them to happen.
Fatty's gonna fatty is real.
How have I been this successful in life?
Welcome to another edition of the MMA Analysis Podcast. Wesley, we are going to give them the truth tonight, whatever that means. I'm your host. We got three of us tonight. We got Brad, me. I suck at betting, but we'll get to that. We got Sean. I know he looks different, but it is Sean. Hopefully you're listening to this and not watching it, because you don't have to see it. Terrifying. Sean, how are you?
I'm very cold. My face is missing a couple pounds of hair. Yeah.
Is it a couple pounds?
Man, it was when I shaved it. It's pretty gross what it looks like once it's all in the in the sink. It's just a
man.
Pound.
Man looks 5 years, 5-10 years younger. That's for fucking sure.
I know. My mom's like, oh my god, baby face, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not happy about this.
It's about summertime.
You're gonna need to do that in a few years when the kid wears on you a little bit more.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's not fun, trust me, because I grow mine out and the kid is literally it's handles. Like, yep. Straight up, it's fucking handles, bro.
Wesley, how are you doing?
We're recovering. It's like funeral times in this state when the cats are out of the tournament in the first round again. It's almost like an obituary around here, but they're keeping Cal, and they're gonna give him another run. And I agree that night I've been a Cal apologist even far past a lot of the fan base, and I think I'm realistic. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always just bring up the fact that these morons, that they're like, and I get it. Like, you can't have first round exits. You can't have multiple first round exits in the past 4 or 5 years.
Last 3 years, man.
Well, we got one. We have one win in March in the past 5 years. That's SC tournament. That's bad. That can't happen around here. I get, like, that night I was like, he's got to go. It's time for a change and shit. But then when you calm down and you think about it, like, who are you going to get?
Actually go from there, yeah.
Who are you getting? And don't get me wrong, there's some younger, better coaches out there. But, I mean, nobody's going to get the talent the guy does. Like, of course he needs to change some philosophy and shit. But I thought he changed some philosophy this year with the offense. That hurt the defense. Cal's always been a defensive guy. Him changing his philosophy on offense killed his philosophy on defense, and that was our problem. But
crushed them team total overs, though.
That was a good time this year. I think everyone but like four games hit their team total over, which was crazy, like 30 games or something. But yeah, I mean, like, what are you going to get? And then on top of, like, I tell people, like, man, Kentucky has 8 titles. They have 8 titles in like 100 years of basketball. 8, and we're one we've won the second most titles out of everybody ever in like 100 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't just roll out of bed and win titles. Like, what was they like? Are they running like Izzo's been at Michigan State losing his ass off for 10 years, 15 years? Now he ain't won a title since Mateen Cleaves and them dog. Never hear Izzo being run out of town. Like, Cal has just universal hate, man, and they'll. It just sucks watching the fan base, and I get the anger. I was angry at night too. But running back, I think you run it back. You got the number one recruiting class coming in next year. You're gonna have guys coming back. Reed Sheppard could do anything he wants in this state if he came back next year. NIL money's crazy now in college. Like, these guys are making, you can make $2-3 million a year playing college basketball.
Do more crimes than Trump next year if he comes back.
Reed Sheppard could storm Frankfurt. He could storm the Capitol and shoot everybody and walk. You know
he couldn't though. He'd walk in. They'd just give it to him.
Yeah,
no, sir, it's yours. Take it.
Yeah, we're gonna run it back. I think next year though, if it's not like Final 8, Final 4, or something like that, it's gonna be over. Like, it's gonna be done. You're just going to have to. Sad times around the old bluegrass state right now.
I got to be honest with you, when it comes to the old basketball tournament, I want to be excited for it. It usually loses me after the first weekend, though. Like the
because you just Monday... need constant, you need absolutely constant fucking games.
Well, because like I don't actually care about college basketball. It's just like the tournament itself is fun. Like I don't think I've watched a college basketball game outside of some of our Kentucky overs all year. So yeah, if it's not in front of me, then I just like I don't care. Like I don't miss that the tournament hasn't happened, and the scheduling this year was fucking horrific.
Yeah, I mean, I love college basketball mainly because I have, you know, we have diehard shit with our team around here. But like, I will say the college game over the past couple of years has gotten better to watch. Like more talent has stayed around the game and shit because of money and shit. So the game's actually better to watch. But I will say college basketball officiating is the worst in any sport on the planet, period. There's nothing else close. I'm NFL refs. You can bitch about all. There is no worse officiating than college basketball refs. These are dudes that are literally taking Spirit Airline flights from night to night, making fucking $200 a game and shit. They don't care. And most of them are bad at their jobs. Then the ones that are okay, like Doug Shows and Teddy Valentine and shit, they're fucking TV whores. They just want to make, you know, charge and get on TV bouncing down the sideline. Yep, straight up. Like, so you got your TV whores of the decent refs, and then the rest are, but it's bad. It runs the game, man. I know they changed it, like, so they used to call everything was a charge, like the past 10 years. Every time you stepped in the lane and touched somebody, it was a charge. Now it's the reverse. They're literally calling no charges. So if a dude's going down the lane out of control and shit, if you're literally like, not fucking the middle of the lane, standing right still, it's a block all day. So I don't know. College officiating so bad. And that's like, I think that turns off a lot of people to that game. Like the NBA is so fun to watch because they let them play most of the time. You know, you're going to score 150 points a game, but fuck, it's what people want to see. You know what I'm saying? Let the Cats score 120 a game. Stop calling all these fouls and shit. Just let them score, bro.
All right. Speaking of scoring, I don't know where I'm going with this one. There was probably some bad judging last week, and we're here to talk about fighting, allegedly. Semi-professional fighting. I know Wes was talking about college athletics, professional athletics. We're talking about semi-pro athletics in this about on par with my beloved lacrosse. So, Sean, you were going to say something. Sorry.
Judging wasn't that bad.
Wow.
It was actually good for once.
There was a couple like road cards, I think, but
I mean, there's always going to be fucking road cards, but I just don't think anybody this weekend. Everybody who won should have.
Brad's like, I already got some stuff lined up for this one.
Yo.
Yeah. So we'll go through that card. Sean, we might have to go to the athletic commission to decide on the bet results from last week. Because you said I was going to go over 1.5 fights. I watched the Talbot and Simon fight.
Yep.
Okay. And then I flipped a couple times to the main event. So I'm not sure if that counts as... I think I said the entirety of fights is what we decided on. So
I mean, did you watch the clip of the biting? I mean, we were saying, you know, you got to look at any
match that you...
I didn't. No? I saw like a billion posts about his little tattoo, but I didn't actually see the bite.
All right. Then you might... We'll call it a push.
We'll be more specific next time around, folks.
Yeah.
Tonight. We'll get there. We'll get there together. Main event, Rose Namajunas. Chud Rose. Unanimous decision over Amanda Ribas, who I'm never going to understand why that is a thing in women's MMA.
What, the head and arm?
Yeah.
Because it fucking works most of the time.
It does. It works, but then they're so inept with the rest of their games, they get reversed half the time after they pull it off. Like, if they knew what to do once they got it there, once they got the control and they could work from there, it'd be a different story.
It also works less at the higher ends of these divisions. And Rose has some skills, and yeah, so she was able to kind of stop it from happening, and Rebus basically pissed away those rounds. So that was good.
I thought it was actually an okay fight, like for a women's fight, for a five round. I thought it was okay. I'm not saying it was a good fight, but like, you know, towards fourth, fifth round, I'm like, can we get this shit over with? But I thought they actually scrapped a little bit. Rebus, for as dumb as she fucking is, like she fights, like she'll fucking throw and get in there and throw down. Rose was throwing, like I thought it was a decent fight. But I mean, as far as like Rose and the win, like, man, up at that weight, she looked slow, she looked old, like she looked soft,
looked like she didn't really want
definitely
to fight.
Too old for Pat Barry, I'll tell you that much.
Well, I mean, our boy Steve was, what was his line Saturday night? Something about Pat Barry training on the playground and shit. That's a move Pat Barry taught on the playground. I think I was like, man, Steve was on fire Saturday. He had some good tweets. But yeah, I mean, nobody gives a, what the fuck was this? What was this? Five round main event. Like, what did this do for anybody? Like, nobody gave a shit about this fight. It meant nothing. The people. Yeah. The people holding on to Rebus, though, like, can we, like, goddamn, coming in that fight, it was still the belief that she's this idiot. Not good.
She's got to fight at 115.
I think they both do. They both should be at 115.
I mean, they both do, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Co-main event, Carl Williams. It ended up going the 15. It's Justin Taffa. We'll circle back to that. Edmund, round one, Edmund takes out AJ Dobson. I did see the clip of the finish of this fight. He punched him a lot, and it didn't go well. Watched this entire one. Peyton Talbot knocked out Cameron Simon early into the second round, after beating the shit out of him for the entire first round, too. Yusuf Zalal, second round, rear naked choke over Billy Q. Did not see that one coming. Consensus loser for us, Sean. No bueno. And Sad. Wrapping up the main card, Fernando Padilla with the first round sub over Luis Pajuelo.
Padilla.
Whatever you want to say on any of those. But like, quick. Nobody cares.
Yeah, nobody cares. Carl Williams is still not good, and he couldn't finish anything. So at some point, somebody's going to crack him, because heavyweight, you need to be able to finish fights because there's so much volatility. Shabazian got cracked and almost lost before he cracked the other guy and won. So we are back to normal Shabazian. He's still a liability. Peyton Talbot seems pretty good, especially for how young he is. Obviously, we were pretty wrong on Billy Q. All the money that came in on the law was obviously smart, and whether that's for whether there was an injury or a sickness, or Zalal, they just thought Zalal was good. Whatever it was good money. I'll take that L. Billy Q did not look like himself. But he is fun. He might get hit a bit, but he's got some offense.
Carl Williams is a fucking bum. I don't know why he keeps winning fights, but we'll take that.
Heavyweights.
Top of like a turtle on his back, just watching the clock go down. He clocked Williams multiple times in that fight, though. Carl Williams was flailing across the cage whenever Top of land, like somebody's going to dead that guy. Shabazian just still, the chin's gone. There is no, it ain't even gone. It's like, it's never been. Like, that dude gets touched and he's hurt bad. I don't know how he won that fight, because he was like hurt badly. I think Talbot's okay, but can we, like, people are losing it. They're already losing it. The Saman has literally had the life and death beat out of him multiple times in the UFC already. He's like 22 years old and been beat up badly a couple times. People are already crowning this guy already. Like, he beat up Cameron fucking Saman, dog. Can we chill out? And then Billy Q, man, I don't think it was an injury, but that dude looked like sick or something. He looked completely out of it. He looked like he was never in that fight. I don't know what it was. That wasn't the normal Billy Q. So whatever somebody knew, it was absolutely right, because that did not look like the same guy to me. I don't know how good Zalal has gotten. He looked really good in that fight. Maybe he did turn a corner and shit, and he's gotten that much better, but something was off with Billy Q. Somebody knew something, and they were right. Money was right.
You know, I heard that Carl Williams was once trying to give a speech, but he couldn't finish a...
Oh, is Padilla anyway. Good? Is Padilla good at 145? Like, is that...
No, fun. I'm not sure if he's good. He's probably
too way tall. Too tall. Yeah. Main card or prelims. Oh, I God. Trey Ogden decision over Kurt Holaba. Juicy J round one sub on Ricardo nice. Ramos, the Geely. Miles Jones decision over Cody Gibson. Running some errands. Decision over Steve Wynn and Daria. Unanimous decision over Monster Rat 2.0. probably the only thing we'll talk about here, but the Andre Lima DQ for biting. I suppose it's the Igor Severino DQ for biting. And Mick Parkin, unanimous decision over Mo Usman. I will give you 30 seconds for the entire prelim, Sean. I know I can't do the rest of that because...
Ramos is a bit of a quitter. He has some success and just fucking, yeah, he's all done. Cody Gibson is bad. Man, we've seen fighters do a lot of stupid shit. There's usually like some sort of angle to what they're doing. I don't understand the biting. You kick somebody in the head, you're fucking angry and you want to hurt him. It's illegal, whatever. You knee him in the head when he's on the ground. You're pissed off. You're trying to land a shot. You bite somebody. What the hell is that going to do?
Holaba is a fucking moron. Dude couldn't stop my takedown. Juicy J... dude's been in the UFC for so many years now and had a ton of fights, just action, whether that man's been stone cold deaded or he's choking guys like Ramos out, like fun fights his entire career. Love some Juicy J. Cody Gibson's a fucking idiot, but like, man, Miles John is not good. That guy's fucking terrible. Like he's not good. I'm going to get Miles Johns again. Running errands. That fight was fun as hell. Easy super fatties on fucking shitty Usman and old Mick. And then the worst thing about, so full disclosure, I didn't at the time think old boy should have been disqualified. I thought it should have been a straight point, like immediately and taking a point. The only reason is because I didn't think it like changed the fight. You know what I'm saying? I didn't think he like, it was a foul that changed the fight. Now I get like most people are like, you bite somebody, it's an immediate disqualification. I get that. I don't disagree with that. That's fine. And that was a bad bite. I get it. But at the time, I just thought it should have been a straight point because it didn't like change the fight. But I can't argue with people that's like,
I feel like it's a more mental thing. If you bite somebody, you are not in the headspace to be fighting.
He was winning. He was slightly winning that fight though. Like,
does not matter.
Something happened in it. Like maybe he got like dude hit him in the groin or just something happened to where he got pissed off so much to where And like some dude, those Brazilians are nuts, man. He was like in a position where the dude's arm was like, he was grabbing him from behind. The dude's arm was like on his face and shit. Yeah. So it went in his mouth at some point. Dude was just like, fuck it, and bit down. Those Brazilians are dumb, man. They're nuts. We've seen this shit for.
So did he have his mouth guard in at the time, yes, or did he like spit his mouth guard out? No.
No, he left it in, and that's why it didn't, like, break skin, because the amount of pressure that he was fucking putting on that guy, it left a good mark. And if he didn't have a mouth guard in, he would have taken a chunk out of that guy.
And like, it's like, I can't argue, DC. Like, I'm not arguing against that. I just, it was a great fight that was happening against two guys that I wish this dude would get another fight. He's cut now, and like, that shit was fun. Those dudes were scrapping. Both of them are good. That's just what sucks about it. He got cut. You're never going to see him again. And he looked like he was going to be a fun 125er. I will say Lima like took full fucking advantage of the situation though. Getting the tattoo in the back of that shit is like legendary. Like I'll give it up to him. That was pretty good. To go in the back and get that shit tattooed was pretty good.
In today's UFC, that gets the people going.
Yeah, I like how we turned a biting incident into a...
it's Dana White. He can turn smacking his old lady into, like, a good thing for him in some way. Like, that's Dana White in the UFC. That's what they do, bro.
Yeah.
You know what else they do? Occasionally go to arenas that have people in them.
But give you an absolute
arm and a leg to do it.
Yeah. And give you an Apex card for that arm and leg.
Yep, it's certainly a card. There's a couple things on here that could be fun, a couple things on here that could be sad, and a few that could be downright terrible. But UFC, I don't even know what to call it. UFC on ESPN 54.
Jesus Christ.
It's a lot of ESPN cards.
There's almost double the amount of Apex cards plus than there has been ESPN plus cards.
Do you remember when like you had to basically put on a title fight or like an extremely high level fight to get on Fox in the beginning or ESPN in the beginning? And now
he was getting like
number one contender fights in good weight classes.
Yeah, I mean, you were getting Cain Velasquez,
multiple top five, top ten fights in divisions, good divisions. Like, yeah, yeah.
Oh well, this is where we are. We can't bemoan the past.
No,
and we don't want to spend time having people listen to us bitch about it because we do that enough already. We're gonna kick it off in the bantamweight division. Angel Pacheco taking on Callum Loughran.
I think UFC is trying to get Loughran a win. They gave him a pretty tough first matchup against LaPuss. Now I think they're kind of serving him up a better, easier fight. I think he probably gets takedowns and probably gets a finish.
Wesley.
Yeah, they're giving him a guy that it was a contender series loser that they gave a contract to. They're trying to get old Loughran a win here. And I think he probably gets it done. Not looking to lay -350 on him though.
Yep. Hyped UK. Well, I guess he's not UK, but I mean, really.
You belong to the UK.
Irish fella, hyped up, -400 territory. Never something you want to be putting too much money on. I will pick him and stay away from this one. Middleweight division. This is one of the better fights on the card, and I don't understand why it's here.
Second.
But whatever. Andre Petrosky, Jacob Mamba Malhoun. He's a killer, Sean. Coming for you.
Yellow Mamba
leg and some heavy top control.
Yeah, your leg hair is not going to be the same after getting humped by the raccoon.
That's pretty good.
I think Malkoon's got to, or I sorry, I think Petrovsky's got to get him early because I don't think he has the gas. I know he's got these like third round, second win wins under his belt, but he's fighting a guy that's shown good cardio. And the guys that he was able to do that against have pretty bad cardio and a big grappling advantage over. I think his size is probably going to help him early on in this fight. But if he doesn't get Malkoon out of there early, I think Malkoon takes over. And his wrestling, his defensive wrestling, his offensive wrestling, I think it's gonna be enough. I don't know if Malkoon gets a late finish, but I'm looking at Malkoon.
It is Malkoon we're talking about here.
Yeah. I don't know if he's gonna get a late finish, bro.
Yeah, like Malkoon and over 2.5 is like -190. I'm probably gonna parlay Malkoon. Probably hedge with Petrovsky. Yeah, hedge Petrovsky round one, I think, because that is his path to victory. But I'll be on Malkoon.
Wesley.
Yeah, I think Petrovsky's gonna bully him in the first round. I don't think Petrovsky's got to worry about like a Pereira situation happening either. He's not gonna get slick knocked out by Jacob Malkoon. But man, if Sean's right, if he doesn't get him out of there in the first, man, it's going to be a wild ride in that second and third. So I've been trying to talk myself into taking some Petrovsky. I just think the line is a little crazy. It's Jacob Malkoon, man, at -250. Like, that just seems wild to me against a guy that can grapple and shit. It's just how long can he grapple for, you know? No bet as of right now for me. I'm picking Petrovsky and Talmaster. I'll probably end up talking myself into putting something on it. I just don't know if I'm going to do like round one or just take the money line or something, but you'll never catch me laying -250 on Jacob Malkoon.
What's Malkoon decision? I didn't look at that, but like Sean said, it's got to be a bunch of minus money.
It's not. I don't even know if they have. Did they finally bring that one out? I don't
Bet
know.
BetOnline has it at +120. So I don't hate that.
Yeah, that's a little bit better.
But if I'm betting something here, it's going to be Petrovsky in round one. I saw that Petrovsky round one TKO is 1600. And honestly, I think that might be a little bit more likely than him subbing Malkoon. I don't think he's just going to take him down and sub him. So I think if he finishes him, it has to be a knockout early. And that's a whole lot more attractive than the +600 that's out there for something I'm probably just going to take a little shot on. We should change Malkoon's nickname to Roomba. Because when he's functioning properly, he's only like 3 inches off the ground. Yeah. Jacob Roomba.
Roomcoon.
Women's flyweight division. Melissa Cat against Victoria Dude. Sean.
Yeah. I'm going to pick Dugova. She's won 3 straight against terrible competition, but she's the dog. It's one of the better looking matchups. Women's MMA right now. That's about it.
Wes?
Yeah, I mean, Chandra Dudikova's won 3 straight against, you know, okay women's competition, UFC, and Gato's lost 2 straight against fucking the same sort of competition in the UFC. Dudikova's a dog here. I think you got to take the dog. Definitely a pick. Probably end up throwing a couple bucks on Dudikova. Just think the wrong person's favorite here. And there's angles that Brad likes when these fights go 15 minutes that I will probably look at as well now since I have those options available.
Ooh, yeah, you do, don't you? I'm just trying to see if they've actually got said options, but no. Honestly, these sorts of fights usually just end up close. So judges suck. Fighters are mostly indistinguishable. I mean, not in terms of how they look in this case, but in terms of like what they do in a particular fight or round. I'll take a split prop here at, it'll probably be around plus 400 in this fight. So we'll take a shot at that. And might just take all of them this week and toss them a little round robin, have some fun. But I really have no opinion on this fight other than it's, that's not a lady. That's a Dudakova.
Hey.
Is she the dog? So she'll be the Toutmaster pick here?
Yes, right. Sir.
All right. Light heavyweight division. Ibu Aslan. That man looks like he's on the Az Yams.
Yeah.
The Turkish Yams, if it's my flag knowledge is correct. And no better man to take out your yam hammer in on than the pleasure man. He's back, baby. Hey, when you leave the people happy, they ask you to come back. Pleasure man's here again, Sean.
This might be for the last time, though. So enjoy it. It's crazy seeing who Ibo beat on the regional scene and the streaks of losses that those fighters have. I mean, he obviously crushed the guy on Contender Series, but that's one of the more fraudulent run of wins to get to the UFC that I've seen in a while. Pleasure Man's terrible. I guess I'll pick the fraud that's a slight favorite.
Wes?
Yeah, I know they say that Mike Wan's Tapology pitcher is number one all time, but man, the Pleasure Man's has got to be close. If Pleasure Man had three chicks around him like Mike Wan does, easily tops. Yeah, I mean, these guys fought like a few years ago, back in Brave or whatever the fuck it is, and the Pleasure Man choked him out. I just think this Turkish fella found the magic formula, I would say, because this man looks like he's carrying around two midgets on his shoulders. Like, the guy's got fucking, he's on the Turkish yams. I'm gonna pick him here. Just younger dude at this point. I know they fought before. It's 4 years ago. I haven't seen the fight. Not gonna go watch the fight. I'm going to pick the Turkish fella, but I got no idea on this man. You know how this one's going to go. You're drinking Turkish tea, watching all this guy's fights over in Brave. Never saw him.
So just to confirm, Wes is taking the Turkish fella, not the Turkalish fella.
Hey.
Hey. I couldn't be bothered to go back and watch their previous fight, so I'm not going to have an opinion on this fight. The one guy looks very strong, and the other guy is the Pleasure Man, who is not good, but already beat him. It's a tale as old as time. What a riveting story for this fight. I will pass, and we will move it on to the featherweight division. Dennis Bazookia taking on Connor Matthews. Like, especially once you get these, remember when we used to make a big deal about the two name guys? And now you got two name guys and both names are super white and they're all indistinguishable completely. Connor Matthews could be like some fighter that came out of the UK for all I know. But he's probably from, I don't know. Is he from Jersey?
Massachusetts.
Yeah, Massachusetts.
Yeah, whatever, same shit.
Yeah.
Sean, thoughts?
Bazookia doesn't seem to be very good. He trains at a camp that's good, but I don't think he's actually that good. I don't know. Have a big opinion on Connor Matthews, but I'm gonna pick him because I think Bazookia is not good.
Connor Matthews and Francis Marshall may have been the whitest fight of all time.
That could have been, it could have been two Duke lacrosse players in there fighting. I mean, yeah, I mean, like one Bazookia can't even like make the weight half the time. He like missed weight in his one fight. The next fight was a catch weight because he probably couldn't get down to minus 145. So the dude's killing himself to make the weight. I'm like Sean, I don't think he's very good. I think he's got that hype to where he trains with a bunch of great guys at a known gym, but he's just not that dude. And like Connor Matthews lost to Francis Marshall on the contender series, which like, Francis Marshall ended up not being like what people thought he was. He's got a couple losses in the UFC now against some okay competition. I mean, Matthews did what he's supposed to in his past two fights and he looked decent. I think it's a decent matchup for him. I think his pressure and shit's going to be a little bit for Bazooka. Dude comes forward. He throws a lot. He goes for takedowns. He's got some decent wrestling and stuff. So, I mean, it's just another close fight, man. If I'm feeling like I need something, I might throw a little bit on Matthews. He's hit like even money at one shop. So if it ends up getting a plus money next to him, I'm definitely going to take a little bit. Probably still be a small bet, nothing big, but I like him in this fight. I think it's a decent matchup. I just don't think much of a old Bazooka, man.
Yeah, I remember like back when I actually used to pay attention to MMA and consume some other media stuff. Used to listen to the Anik and Florian podcast every once in a while. And Ray Longo would always be on there. And he would be talking about how he was trying to get Dennis Bazookia into the UFC. And then I saw him on Contender Series. And I was like, really? Like that guy? Why? And then he kept doing it like a couple more episodes. And eventually he got back into the UFC. I was really like, that guy? Again? Why? He just doesn't seem like he belongs in the UFC even today. So I guess Connor Matthews, I'm not betting that at all. Yeah. Fun. Next one.
It's going to be a fun fight. That'll be a fun fight.
You'll probably get punched. Okay. Featherweight division again. Julio Arce taking on Herbert Burns, taking money like there's no tomorrow, Sean. What do the people know about Herbert Burns that we do not?
He's going to have a wheelchair this time, Kate said.
I'm not quite sure. I mean, it's not like the line has tightened up that much. It is obviously got shorter, minus 600 to now minus 400, but it's not that big of a difference when it comes to win percentages. But Julio Arce is, I think we all thought he was going to be better than what he ended up being. He's alternated wins and losses going back like 8 fights or so. This dude beat Danny Gay in his UFC debut. Has beat some decent guys, but he obviously got sidetracked and, hasn't fought for a bit. Herbert Burns has not fought in
even longer. Yeah.
And Herbert Burns is coming off 2 TKOs, including a retirement from exhaustion, shall we say. I think Arce is gonna just be better. Arce's shown great takedown defense, so this is gonna be on the feet, and he's a lot better than Herbert Burns. I think he catches him at some point. Now that the price has come down a little bit, probably throw it in a parlay or two.
Interesting. Wes, how do you think the absence of USADA will affect the performance of Herbert Burns? Is that going to be like a completely inverse reaction?
Ain't going to make weight. That's for goddamn sure.
Yeah, and I mean, it ain't.
He might make 155. Yeah.
I mean, his brother's an actual good title contender. Herbert Burns has been getting the good shit for a while now. You know, he's got the connect. Yeah, I mean, both of these dudes coming off a layoff. Burns is longer. Look, it's a little bit of money on Burns. Whatever it is, I don't understand it. Like, dude, people, seriously, do they forget the last time we saw this guy? Okay, his fucking Gil was carrying this man out of the cage. He couldn't walk, bro. Like, what are we doing? I mean, you got to play Arce in some way in this fight. Sean hit it. His takedown defense is legit. On the feet, this isn't fucking close. This isn't even like a conversation on the feet. Arce is going to fucking smoke Burns on the feet. Maybe Burns pulls off some takedown. Maybe he can clinch his way to some decision. I don't see it. I like Arce quite a bit in this fight. Can he get a finish? I mean, possibly. He could possibly get a later round finish in this fight, especially after what we saw out of Burns the last. Like, that's a dude that's he'll quit. He'll get the fuck out of there. He'll pull off some I'm gassed, and he'll lay in the center of the cage and not fucking get up. So I like Arce a lot here. I'm going to watch the line, man. Like, still coming down more in places. We're at 375 at Bovada. So just going to watch the line. Maybe it goes down a little bit more, but absolutely going to have to put Arce in something.
Yes, agreed. I find it strange that, well, maybe not strange because we know that Burns is a quitter. But man, this is set at 1.5.
1.5.
It's like even money. And I really want to take the over. It's like maybe Burns gets a takedown early. I think even if he does that, he's not going to finish Arce. But if he doesn't, he's going to fail a couple. And Arce takes a while to get going in pretty much all of his fights.
Does that one fight go under 1.5, and that was when you don't put him out? That's the only time his fight has gone under.
Could absolutely see
his whole UFC career.
It could absolutely see Burns like getting a hold of Arce and pushing him back to the cage and dragging minutes out of that.
Yeah,
like absolutely. Well,
yeah, looking through Arce's entire career, you have to go back to 2014, the last time he had a fight finish in round one. Either way, win or lose.
His level of comp in the UFC is actually, like, really fucking good. Like, really, really good.
I mean, he ended up knocking out Juicy J, but even he took till the third round to do that.
Yep.
So, like, that feels low to me. But then, like, the Arce round two and three props really aren't correspondingly as high as they should be. I'll wait to see what those open at other places, but I kind of like that over.
Not bad.
Maybe an Arce and over to get that price down a little bit. Sean taught me all about those. Women's strawweight division. Lupi Godinez. She's been Mexican a couple times in a row now, so stay on the lookout. And you know who's always on the lookout? Oh, one this way, one
every
that
direction.
Way. Vina Handijoba. Sean,
you can do it.
Oh, Handijobs. I bet Handijobs quite a bit. I don't like betting women's fight, but she seems to be a decent fighter, and you know, the price is pretty high on her. I am not really a believer in Lupi Godinez. She's obviously got a lot better. That loss to Luana Carolina, just maybe that's what stuck in my mind and made me want to fade her. But she obviously hasn't fought.
10 pounds elite. Should not make that much of a difference.
Yeah.
Like, that's... You have reason to be concerned there.
Yeah. But... This is a tough match. I think this is a tough stylistic matchup for Handijobs because for the most part, she wants to take you down. I don't know how much success she's going to have against Godinez in doing that. But on the feet, this is probably a close fight. I don't see Lupi just dominating her. So this is going to be probably close into the third round. And then who knows? I think it's worth a small shot just being a fight that's definitely going to go to decision. even me saying that, I don't even know if I can jinx that. And in a fight that I think is going to be close, I think you have to take a small shot on the dog.
Wesley.
Yeah, I mean, Loopy's gotten, she gets hyped up. Like, I mean, if you go back and look, like, the Carolina loss, you know, she beat Loma. That was a tight fight. Lost to Angela Hill. Calvillo had her in bad spots. That was a split decision win. Like, I could have went either way there. Ricci was like she's not, I just don't get the hype. And like Sean's right, like, oh, Handy Job's gonna want to try to get takedowns there, and Loopy's a decent wrestler and stuff, but she's been on the mat too. Like, she's not like some like shark on the mat to where you're not getting her down or you're not scrambling and reversing position on her and shit. And man, oh, Handy fucking, she can roll, man. She's got fucking great jujitsu on the feet. I think it's closer than what people are thinking. So like, I don't know, man, at this kind of price, I'm not a big Loopy fan. I've never been sold on her. Made a shit ton off of Angela Hill against her. I just think at this price, it's worth a small shot. And I think this is another fight to where that split decision prop, you can probably get a really good price out of just betting the split decision as fight, because it's going to be a really close decision, coin flip at the bell. And then I think Handy Job's decision is around plus 300 or something like that too. I don't think that's a bad spot either. I think either way in this fight, either person you pick to win this fight or bet, you should probably look at by decision and get you some better numbers.
Yeah, you don't even need to break down Loopy fights anymore. She's always like a minus 200 to 300 favorite. She's always in a super close fight. It's usually like, it's always going to go to decision unless she's fighting somebody truly horrific. And it's going to be a close decision. It's not a complicated thing. We've seen it, I don't know, probably 10 times in the UFC by
almost
now.
Almost every fight. Yep.
Like, it's the same story every fight. And this one is against somebody who is tough, is going to come forward, is going to grapple you, is going to win the grappling exchanges, even if you're a better wrestler. Yeah, I think it's close. I don't love getting them, but I love betting them. Some Handy Jobas. Yeah, we're probably going to play that decision prop. And definitely going to toss in the split once we get the price on that. Hopefully, again, 400 range, maybe 350. We will see. Final prelim. Featherweight division one more time. Nate the Train Landwehr taking on Jamal Emmers. Sean, do we continue to hate the favorites?
Yes. Probably bad.
This is going to be great.
For the most part, if you get Landwehr out of there early, good on you. It's happened. It's happened against some. Obviously, the Herbert Burns one is brutal. That in flying knee and Erosa, the flying knee. Those are not great. Unless you're elite and if you knock him out in the first, there you go. If you're elite, you're going to beat him. Other than that, man, this guy puts on an absolute pace, has good offensive wrestling. He is going to test the fuck out of you. I don't think Emmers is going to just slick knock him out early. And Landwehr's pace and just overall game plan is going to just be able to wear him out. And I think eventually just kind of either takes him out in the third or he's going to win the second and third. So I'm taking a shot on Nate Landwehr.
Wesley.
I mean, you know, after that crazy flying knee, like it happened to him a couple times early, but like in between, like he goes 15 with Elkins in an absolute insane fight. He chokes out fucking Klein. He beats fucking Onama. Chokes out fucking Lingo.
The most insane fight.
And then goes 15 with fucking Dan Ige. Like, Ige fucked him up, beat his ass, but, like, he stayed in there with Dan Ige. Like, man, like, Nate's, it's not a bad run, man. I, like, the knees mixed in, of course, are fucking dumb knockouts that, that happen with the style that, that Landwehr fights. Like, is Jamal Emmers hitting some flying knee on Nate Landwehr in the first round and knocking him out? Like, if not, I think Emmers is in trouble. Like, Sean hit it. Fucking, he's gonna test your fucking shit, man. Landwehr's that guy that you say you want your money on. He's gonna come forward. He's got cardio. He's gonna fucking put a pace on a guy. Like, he's the dude that's gonna get the close split decisions most of the time because he's gonna have the output. He's gonna have the forward pace. He's gonna look good in the fight. Yeah, I mean it. Well, at some spots it's like +170 and stuff. Like, give me some of that. I'll take some fucking Nate fucking the train every time at a price like that against the level of competition of Jamal Emmers. So Jamal Emmers can fucking knock out Nate fucking Landwehr, then props to him. I don't see it. I'll take some of that dog money.
Nate fucking a train.
Nate fucking on the train.
So Jamal Emmers, 0 career knockouts by knee. Mm. All of his knockouts have come. One was retirement. Doesn't count. All the rest of them, punches. Number of times Nate Landwehr has been knocked out by punches. 0. Hey. Mm? Can't beat this kind of analysis, folks. And that's why he's not going to get knocked out by punches. So he's going to either maybe get a late stoppage, more likely win a decision. But we'll take Nate to keep on chugging along, put the pace on him, and get us a W here. Main card.
Landwehr decision.
Welterweight 450. Landwehr decision 450, you say?
Not bad, not bad.
Yeah.
We'll see. Sorry to cut you off there.
No, you're good. Welterweight division. Rice McKee. Taking on Chitty Chitty Bang Bang Njokwani. Sean.
So Njokwani is dropping down to 170. I guess we'll see how that goes. He's obviously been fighting at 85 for at least a while. I don't know if he ever fought lower than 85.
Yeah, he used to catch weights.
Yeah, but it's been a long time. So that'll be... LFA. That'll be interesting to see how that weight cut goes. I'm a bit surprised by the money coming in on McKee. Chitty, for the most part, he's going to lose if you can grapple him. I don't think McKee's going to grapple him, so this is going to be a fun stand-up fight, and I think Chitty's got more power. He is getting older. That is a bit of a concern, and he is going down in weight. So there are some flags, but I think... stand-up wise, I think he's better than Rhys McKee. So I'll probably be betting him small.
Wesley.
Yeah, they're betting no fucking Rhys McKee like they know some, or they've seen tape that the rest of the world hasn't, because
well, they saw that Jim Wallhead.
But did they watch him against Ange, you know, who just pretty much quit in his last fight? Like, I mean, I think Sean hit it. This is going to be two fucking long-rangey fucking kickboxers kickboxing, and I know whose power and chin I trust the most, and that's Chitty's. And I think that's how the fight's going to go. I don't get the line move. Rhys McKee is fucking horrible. Like, I mean, I know he got smoked a couple times and then went back over to Cage Warriors, and it's just – beating up guys like old Jimmy Wallhead and shit, and got another shot and then loses the fucking Ange Lusa. Like, what are we doing? And he's getting fucking money on him like this. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, man. Give me some Chitty at this price. I'm going to keep watching. It's down to -140 now. I already had him in a parlay. I'm just going to watch the line. If it goes down a little more, I'm going to add more straight. Like Chitty in the spot.
Yeah, I don't know if, like, maybe Rhys McKee is a different human than he was the last time he was in the UFC. I don't think so. And if he's not, then I don't see how this is a great fight for him. The worst thing that's going to happen to Chidi with the weight is that he's going to be like, oh, fuck, I'm way too big for 170 and come in at like 174.
Yep.
but like, other than that, he's going to be massive compared to this dude. And he's already the better striker. I don't really understand. But then again, I undersold Zalal's performances coming back into the UFC just last week, and it ended up costing me. So maybe he's been much more impressive than I would like to admit.
We saw him, though. He fought. And fucking Ange.
He
got beat. I lost the decision to him in a shitty fight. Like, we know who he is, bro.
Yeah, no. Fuck it. Chidi. I mean, it was always good. I was going to circle around and get there, but detour. Get out of there. Yeah. I don't get it. Don't get it. Anyway. We didn't miss our bet. Yet. We're good. Featherweight division one more time. Last time for the evening. Bill Algeo, Kyle Nelson. The people laughed. They scoffed last time out when I took Kyle Nelson plus two something dog. Sean, who's laughing now?
I don't know. It's always dicey to try to get a back-to-back wins by Canadian pound for pound number seven. It is concerning that Bill Algeo is a minus 225 favorite. His takedown defense makes him an absolute liability. Kyle Nelson is not an amazing grappler, but he can get some people down, and it doesn't take much to get Algeo down. So this fight can become a lot closer with Nelson mixing in some takedowns and getting some control and stuff like that. So it's I don't think I'm going to end up back in Algeo. He's obviously the much more skilled fighter. When this is on the feet, he's going to be throwing and hitting Nelson way more. He just lands so much more. But it's tough for me to back anybody at that price with the takedown defense that Bill Algeo has. So I'll pick him to win, but I don't think I'm going to be able to bet him.
Wesley.
Yeah, I think there's a chance some parlays could be getting busted here, because I feel like a lot of people is going to be on Algeo here. I think Sean's right again, though, that takedown defense is going to be a really big problem for him in this fight. Nelson's going to try to get forward and get a hold of him. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way Nelson can stand and box with Algeo. He's just going to get outlanded way too much to win that kind of fight. I mean, I'm sort of leaning that Nelson gets a takedown or two here and can get a couple rounds at 2-1. Like, man, I like Bill Algeo a lot, but I mean, we've seen him in fights to where shit doesn't go his way when he can't get a fight up on the feet most of the rounds, and guys grind on him. Like, we've seen that out of Bill Algeo, and he loses those fights. He loses those decisions. So, It's probably going to be a small bet on Kyle Nelson for me here. And I was looking at Nelson. Nelson by decision, too, is around plus 350. That's probably going to be a little better when it opens everywhere, maybe plus 400 or so. So double the price, that might be something else I look at out. I don't think Kyle Nelson's getting Bill Algeo out of there, whether he gets 12 minutes of top time. Algeo's just way too tough and good off on the mat to get finished, I think. So I like a kind of like Kyle Nelson here as a 2-1 dog.
I'm not sure that I can get all the way there. I wish I could. Like, Algeo has the perfect style, just constantly underperform. And especially when you're a minus two whatever favorite he is in this fight, that's a dangerous thing to bet on. So I'm not betting Bill Algeo. But Nelson has faded so many times in the past in fights. It's just that Algeo has that like special combination of super tough, so you're not going to get him out of there. Can't wrestle, so you can control him whatever you want to. he doesn't have big power. So he's not like that massive knockout threat late in a fight to really get it back. So it's just, man, I can't back a guy like that, but I think he should turn this on in the back half of the fight and probably win a decision, if not a late stoppage. Nelson's been stopped late a couple times before, but yeah, this, no, I'm not touching Bill Aljo at -250, let's say. 225, 230. No. Anyway, middleweight division. Nursultan Ruzaboyev taking on Cedric Dumbass. Sean.
We backed Dumbass last time out as a consensus bet, and that was absolutely fucking painful. He tried to lose that fight.
It's easy. Never in doubt.
The Bagman's brother was just much, much worse at just handing over a win.
Yeah, we let you pick your own dude.
Ruzaboyev seems like he has big power. What else is he? I don't know. Dumbass is just, it's tough for me to have any money on a guy with that kind of fight IQ. There's lots of question marks for Ruzaboyev, but I know what Dumbass is, and it's not smart. So I'll probably pick Ruzaboyev. I don't really want to have any money on anything that's going on in this fight.
Wesley, what sort of janitorial equipment or supply best describes Dumbass's fight IQ?
I mean, is he? I don't even know if he's the bucket. He's got to be the mop water, right? Like, it's not fucking good. There's no way I'd lay -200 on Ruzaboyev here. His fight before the UFC was against some dude that's 12-12 and fucking wherever the fuck he fought. Then he beat that like juiced out juice head that knocked out Philly Hogs last time, but he just took the dude down and worked him over. I'm not sure he can get like consistent takedowns on Dumbass here. That's the question for me. I think Dumbass going to be just way bigger than this dude, but man, he's an idiot. He's a fucking dumbass. He'll find a way. I'm probably gonna pass. I'm gonna pick the old Dumas and Topmaster. But man, good luck if you're laying -200 on this dude here, off of whatever he was fighting before he got to the UFC. Because it's a fucking, you want to talk about, it's one of those padded fucking records. So yeah, I don't know on this one. Total pass.
At the same time as being padded, there's also some like pretty bad looking losses on there as well. So not ideal.
Boris Morishenko, is that like, yeah, there's some bads.
The Boris Morishenko, I thought that Borsch was one of Russia's biggest soup festivals.
No? He said a fucking soup festival.
I don't know about the nurse Sultan. I do know about the dumbass, and
yeah,
he is indeed that. Fewer names are more apt. This is a pass for me. It's probably something where like I should bet Dumbass just for the hilarity of having a bet on that dude again after what he did to us last time. But I think I'll probably just pass. Like,
this is the spot to where Petrovsky Malcolm should be. Like, what are these two bums doing? Like, I don't get it. I don't fucking get it, bro.
Who knows? Speaking of two bums, Chris Weidman's got two bum knees. Hey, nailed it. But he's going on another title run, baby. It's Weidman title season again.
Man, so I still think I could be champ. Like, I started laughing. Like, You want to talk about delusional?
Can't say athlete. That shit with a straight face, man.
God. I mean, he's almost demented enough that they could let him run for president, right?
I mean,
does he meet the bar? No. Anyway, he is taking on Bruno Silva in a fight that can only be described as why.
It's fair. Is it possible that Wybin can get a takedown or two? I guess it's possible. I think his body's going to fall apart at some point, whether that's from Silva kicking him or punching him or him just rolling an ankle as he steps around the octagon. He's just an absolute ghost. Bruno Silva has obviously got to throw more strikes than he did last time out. That was very frustrating. If he throws, I think he wins. Him inside is minus 140. Him by TKO is minus 120. I think you got to look that way at this point in Chris Weidman's career. If you're getting close to even money fading him to get finished, it's probably not a bad bet.
Honestly, a testament to Brad Tavares and his lack of finishing ability not get Chris Weidman out of there in 2023.
Especially considering Weidman couldn't get a single takedown on him, and he still couldn't get Weidman out of there.
Literally, there was definitely some people with the under 2.5 that are like, are you fucking kidding me? I mean, taking an under 2.5 in a Brad Tavares fight, but you probably should have got it on that one. And Tavares was just like,
I mean, he was kicking him in his like fucking reconstructive leg over and over, still couldn't stop fucking Chris Weidman. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, Weidman's got like, what is it? One win in like the past 5.5 years over Omarion, and was in deep in that fight.
Deep against Omarion.
And that's it. 5.5 years, man. Broken leg. Like in that last fight against Tavares, man, like that thing looked mangled again. Like it looked like it was on the verge of fucking going.
It didn't look good coming in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's never going to look, it ain't Alex Smith level mangled, but it's fucking mangled. Like it thing's bad. And man, Tavares kicked it a few times early. And like, he was hurt from like the get go. Like Weidman was like limping around the entire fight off a couple leg kicks just to start. I'm with Sean. Like I already got Bruno in a parlay with Chitty and Arce three teamer. Big bet on that. If you're getting somebody to stop Weidman in 2024 at even money, you almost have to take it. So it's like Bruno Silva's, he's not going to sit like his last fight, Sean mentioned, like he's got to throw more. But like when Bruno Silva throws and gets his strikes going, like he can get guys out of there. So I think this is bad for Weidman, man. I don't even know why we're seeing this. I don't know why Weidman is still doing this to himself. I don't think he's hurting for money. Like he's in with gyms and shit with Longo and all them. Like he's got to have some respectable amount of money coming in. I don't get it. Sometimes these dudes just can't stop this shit. Maybe if he loses a leg, he'll quit doing MMA. Maybe then he'll probably try to set something up with fucking one arm dude, do some kind of fucking magic. Like Weidman's never gonna stop.
Insane. He'd like start his own promotion just for
yeah, him and Nick Newell, the Nick Newell and Chris Weidman fighting promotion. yeah, you gotta like Silva in this spot.
Kyle Maynard takes them all down, baby. I think that I don't know why Weidman is fighting. I feel like Bruno Silva was paid to make that the fraud glass eye Joe look like $1 million in that fight. Cause whenever he tried to do something, he was able to do it. He just like didn't. And that's against the guy who was moving at about three times the speed Weidman could anywhere at any point in his life right now. So I just think this is going to be one of those kind of sad ones. Does Bruno get it done early? Usually when he wins fights, that's how he does it. So I don't mind some plus 200-ish for round one TKO or round one prop. I don't mind the TKO prop is like minus 120 at some of the Cambies. That's pretty good for like all $37 you can get on it. But, you know, try. And yeah, I'm prepared to either not watch this fight at all or just be depressed by watching it. So great viewing experience all around. May as well make some money while I'm at it. Co-main event, welterweight division. We've got Vicente Luque, who is coming off a victory over a former UFC champion. And he's facing the guy who kicked the guy once. Sean.
Yeah, I actually lost some money against Luque. I played RDA and, you know, he stuck to a game plan that's going to work against RDA, especially at 170 pounds. I think, I mean, it's good that he basically didn't take too much damage in that fight. So his brain's had a good rest since that that Jeff Neal fight. Because Buckley does throw hard, but I just don't think he throws enough. I think Luque, you know, trying to take him down, getting him down, and that's, if he does that and then he mixes in the striking on the feet, like I think Buckley's going to get frustrated. There's going to be a decent skill gap. The concern is just going to be that chin of Luque. But I think he, it's only three rounds. I think he can have success grappling. And when it's on the feet, I think he's more skilled and throws more volume. So I like Luque. Just let's pray that chin bolts together.
Wes?
Yeah, I do think we need, like, the RDA fight, Luque. Like, that was a way more that's the most measured dude I think we'd seen.
I would say we don't need it, but, like,
would prefer. But that was, like, the most measured technical Luque that we'd seen maybe ever. And guess what? He looked fucking tremendous like that. Like, that's what that dude should have been doing forever instead of getting these firefights with all these guys. Like, we get it, man. The striking's amazing. You could always rely on your jiu-jitsu if a dude took you down. Your chin was insane for so long, but that's all different now. You know what I'm saying? And he did change his style in the last one. I hope that holds, because if that guy shows up, man, how much better do we, like, all things, you know, equal, no Luque's been in wars. How much skill wise better do you think he is than Buckley? Like, it's not even close, right? It's not even fucking close to skill levels of these guys. So on the feet, like, the volume is just going to be way different. Buckley's going to need to land a bomb. He's going to need to land that fucking dumb kick, that head kick or something. But whenever Buckley's gone up to, like, this sort of level of competition, he's gotten smoked. Every time he's gotten smoked. Like, Imavov and even, like, Curtis. And Curtis, I wouldn't even put it Luque's level. Anytime that Buckley has stepped up to a different level of competition, it wasn't even close. He literally got smoked. Then he goes back down. He fights Fiohao, who will just sit there and fucking bang with you and get knocked out. And then Morono, who's just like a slow white guy. Like, he's in there with the fucking bigger, stronger fucking guy of a different persuasion here. Like, Morono wouldn't. That's just the level of guy that Buckley can go out there and style on. He moves up to this level and it's not good. I mean, Luque's, that line's come down. It's starting to creep back up now. I'm in at some minus 110. I love Luque in this fight. I hope the Luque we saw last time shows up. I think if that Luque shows up, he is going to smoke Buckley. I think we're all forgetting about how, like, what level Buckley is as a fighter. People forget it when he, like, gets to fight guys like Fiohao and fucking Morono. And then people are like, oh my God, that's the guy that
kick that guy once, like Brad likes to say. They go back to that. Like, when you get to head kick guys, like, you know, I just think this is two levels of fighter, and I like Luke a lot here.
Now, don't get me wrong. It was a cool kick.
Yeah.
But he kicked that guy once. That's still who he's fought a lot since then too. But I don't necessarily know how much better he's getting at fighting. I think he's staying very active. And as Wes said, you can see he'll climb the ladder to a certain point and he gets, you know, he's got some decent skills. He's definitely got power that he carries deep into a fight. So if Luque's chin is gone, I'm concerned about that in this fight. If his brain is just applesauce at this point, don't love that. But when you look at the actual fight and how it should play out, Luque will probably eat a couple shots from him, but he is way more talented on the feet, way more talented on the ground. I think he can get it to the ground. You know, might not be as easy as in the RDA fight, which I think was kind of surprising to all of us. Mm-hmm. But that's the first time we've really seen Luque pursue a lot of offensive grappling. So maybe it's kind of been all right all along and we just didn't ever see it. So yeah, I like Luque quite a bit here. Sean, what price are we going to give the people? Are we
minus 110.
There we go. Minus 110 it is. Vicente Luque.
Our boy.
Consensus bet of the week. Yeah. We like it. If the brain is good, we win, I think. And that brings us to the main event. Women's strawweight division, Erin Blanchfield, fighter that our boy Aaron Watershow once thought was hot, since forgiven him for that. I think it was just like a narcissism thing.
It was a 3 white claw or a 10 white claw deep thing.
No, he was just like, Aaron, oh, maybe I like me. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's taking on Amanda Yoro.
That's dead on. Buckley, Ernie Hudson. Like, it's like, it's dead on. He's going to get Schillingered. Go watch Oz if you youngins have never watched the Godfather of HBO series. Like, good stuff.
That's one of those shows you couldn't make today.
They're so dumb. You can make anything you want today. No one gives a shit.
Sean, thoughts on the main event?
I don't have too much here. I think it's fairly simple. If Blanchfield can grapple for 3 rounds, then she's going to win. If she can't, then Fiore is going to fuck her up on the feet, but not enough to finish her. I guess I'll pick Fiore. I don't really care too much, and this is like a number one contender fight at 25. Maybe one of them shows me something that is going to interest me, but I have a hard time seeing that.
I like your optimism. I would appreciate if it was a little bit more realistic, but we'll work on that. Baby steps. Wes.
Yeah, I mean, this is gonna be what it is, bro. We're about to get 25 minutes of just no power, some clinching. Blanchfield probably isn't going to get takedowns. And I think it's just going to be a close kind of shitty boxing, kickboxing, grinding on the cage, 2-3 minutes at a time, and just be an overall shitty fight. I think in a fight like that, in a women's fight, you take the dog and you look at that split decision, because – think these cards could be all over the place at the end of this fight. And I don't know, like Sean said, maybe one of them show us some. I don't see it. I know Blanchfield's been crowned and shit. I don't see it. None of this shit mainly down here really interests me. They're just what's there in women's MMA at this point, that there is no Amanda Nunes or Chris Cyborg or just somebody to, like, you know,
gets the people going. There's just none of it, man. There's nothing close. So this being like some number one contenders fight is just fucking insane and kind of shows you where the state of women's MMA is overall. Like Kayla Harrison and Holly Holm is not riding in the same the shit. So like whatever. Yeah, I'll pick Old Man on Fire. Not sure what Man on Fire's decision is. I would think that's gotta be an okay
pro. He was the best I saw.
290, maybe a little. I'm gonna sprinkle that split decision prop and pick Man on Fire and Topmaster, but man, we're back-to-back women's 25-minute main events is blasphemy. Like, they wonder why guys like us shit on this stuff. And I know people probably get tired of hearing all of us, all of the negativity, and but, like, this is what they're serving you. Back-to-back 25-minute fucking women's MMA fights for main events. Yeah, that sucks.
Hey, maybe we'll get another Man of Fury standing TKO.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that. Like, he was like, I saw Kobe. He's like, well, she's got power. She could start like she's got KOs. Is like, no, she's got like what Brad references is those standing KOs to where it's not really a knockout. It's just she's punching a chick that's
fighting.
That's not punching back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of think that Blanchfield doesn't get the grappling going in this fight. She gets stuck on the feet and then gets punched, like, maybe not a lot, but enough. To pretty clearly lose. It seems like a physicality thing to me, where she's going to run into somebody that she can't just take down. I know she did all right against Talia Santos in her last fight, but or Taylor Santos, but like
she was landing in that fight. Like she was landing on Blanchfield until she started getting grappled and grinded and shit.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, I think she's going to be able to keep it up, land the better stuff. It's not a particularly strong opinion. I might end up with a bet on Furo because it is the fight in the main event slot. But as you can tell from my voice, I'm enthused by this one. Yeah, that's going to do it for the card.
One more shit card. Is it one more shit card?
No, we're back to the Apex next week with a Chris Curtis, Brendan Allen.
Yeah, I know.
But Weston's saying, like, one more after this, yeah. and then it's big time.
Then it's
the great. So please stop trying to call it the greatest card ever. It's not. No,
it's just a very, very, very good card.
It's a great card.
It's a great card, and it's a tremendous card by today's standards. Like, I am going to watch it, and there are several fights on there that I am excited about, which you can't say about all that many cards these days.
They just eat up the fucking bald bozo fucks shit. Greatest card ever. This is the greatest ever. Never ends. It literally, like, the next champ. It's the greatest fighter ever. Dana White, Usman's the greatest welterweight ever. Because he, like, can we stop? Everybody's the greatest.
You're tiresome.
It is.
Not everything has to be the best ever.
It doesn't. Really doesn't.
But that's their shtick. There's nothing fresh. It's just the newest is the best.
Yeah, when you don't have time to, like we talk about, you got a card every week. You don't have time to reflect on anything. So the next one up's got to be the greatest. Next card's the greatest. That champ's the greatest.
Keep selling.
Yep.
Wes, Sean and I briefly touched on the lawsuit last week. Did you have any thoughts on that? Since
I mean, just got,
our boy LR in the chat asking where all the dudes are at.
Well, I mean, just briefly, like they just once again, like the UFC makes out like bandits. You know, they just think Luke Thomas tweeted some today. They just keep winning. Like, however you feel about
think Dana they've White
won. They're not winning.
They've won. It's all, yeah. like it's it is literally at this point. It's over. It is outside of like Luke Thomas touched on it too. Even people say government intervention in another Ali Act. There's commissions around the country that don't even enforce the Ali Act for boxing. What makes you think they'll ever enforce something else on MMA? Not like they won. Yeah. It's over. We have a monopoly in the sport. This is what you're going to get going forward. I get like settling. Like I get those guys wanting to take and not like they've
Can
given
you
up.
Blame them?
No, they've given up years and years fighting. And they've watched all around them where all these guys have, some guys have made good money and shit and have nothing to say. They don't back them. They don't help them. Why would you keep fighting at this point? But it does suck to like people see this big number that the settlement is, and that big number is going to get dwindled down by lawyer fees and these fees and this and that, then splitting it. I think somebody said like they'll end up getting like a couple hundred grand a piece, a couple hundred thousand is what.
Don't even think it's that much.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's something like right around there.
That's what they were thinking if they divided it up equally, but they don't think it's going to be divided up equally. Well, it's going to depend on what your wages were. So,
well, there's also like fighters that dropped out at different points at the lawsuit too that would get smaller percentages and shit. So it's definitely,
it was 335 million or 334 million or something like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and then like
I remember seeing that there was like 2,300 fighters that were part of the class.
Yeah, and like I think they said it came down to like 1,200 are gonna get like a big chunk of it. Like there's 1,200 that stayed in the lawsuit the entire time. But like lawyer fees were gonna be like 40% or something. Like they're gonna take almost half in like lawyer fees and taxes and all that sort of shit and stuff. So it ended up being
half
like
half of the guys get 100 grand. I would be surprised.
Yeah. There might be a chunk of guys that get $100,000+. I read maybe 200 grand still. So let's say $200,000, man, that's the UFC has won.
You could have just taken a couple fights for that amount.
Do you know what they're worth? Do you realize what $330 million is? It's like every other company in this country and the world. They will violate every law and standard because their fines are 100 grand. What's 100 grand to somebody worth 10 billion? It's literally a cup of coffee to them. And that's what this was. Yeah, it sucks, man. I think most people that sort of care wanted to see this go forward. We all wanted to see discovery on Dana White and Endeavor and shit. Everybody wanted to see discovery. What came out already was wild. Like the shit they were talking about, the Diaz's and shit when they were trying to roll them over and just little things that already came out were like, but you want to talk about
what we matters. Knew was happening.
Yeah, we already knew that was happening, and it doesn't matter because they don't care. It doesn't
there's
matter.
So many, there's so many bootlickers that are just going to – like the worker practices that they did would like violate so many federal laws on their own, and people are really like, well, they can go get a different job. Like what is wrong with you motherfuckers, man? Like these guys fucking fight for a living. Like the owners are making billions. What's giving these guys say fucking 100 grand a fight? What is wrong with you? I'll never understand the common man fucking bootlicking for billionaires. I'll never understand that. Never. And like they think fighters are rich and famous. Those guys ain't rich and famous, dude. Like they literally like broke. Like Tyson Pedro is
they're semi-professional athletes.
They're literally that's broke. True. Like Tyson Pedro's like, I can't fight in the UFC no more because I can't pay my bills, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're okay with that, fine. Like, whatever. What are you gonna do? Bootlick some more, dog.
Everybody's done with us now. You to exit, but we appreciate your thoughts. Okay. You back next week, hopefully. One more time.
Sure, let's go. One more for 300.
300.